myself this morning. I hope you have. I'm going to preach anyhow. So. All good things must come to an end, I reckon. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll give you a few thoughts this morning. This has been Thanksgiving week, and we're gonna give you some thoughts today. Sometimes we wonder why things happen. Sometimes we wonder, why did this person come into my life, or why was I there, why this happened? I believe we have got so used to living what I reckon you would call a secular life. We're so used to being entangled with the world that we're more worldly than we are godly. We're more worldly the way we live. We're more worldly the way we think. We're more worldly the way we conduct our business. Everything about us is all focused on the world. We're more worldly when it comes to raising our families. And you'll say, well, I'm not worldly, I'm a Christian. Well, you don't have to act like the world or be like the world as far as sin goes to be worldly. But if your mind is not focused on the Lord, then it can only be focused on one other thing. That's the world. It's either the Lord or the world. There's no other ground. Everybody understands that. But I think sometimes we're more interested in staying here with what I want, that I might have what I want, to do what I want, to be where I want to be, to have what I want, instead of being here for the purpose of God, and to realize that all this is temporary. Everything I got's temporary. Amen. Other than my salvation, that's eternal. But everything else is temporary. My children are temporary. My wife's temporary. My parents, I thought, would live forever. They're gone. My grandparents are gone. I thought Papa and Mama will always be there, but they're gone. They've been gone years. They've been gone 40 years. Don't even make sense. My daddy, always thinking, my daddy, this deer season week, and my daddy was a big hunter, and we always hunted together, but he'd been gone 24 years. What don't even seem right. I thought they was forever, but no, they was temporary. They was temporary. A lot of people are temporary. Can know all people are temporary. Stuff's temporary. But our life, I still have eternal life. And I got an eternal purpose. And I believe we're missing some things. We miss some things in our reaction to the actions that come our way. The way we react to sickness, the way we react to death, the way we react to problems and cares, it's all focused here. But yet there's plenty of scripture that talks about that these things are not to be thought on as eternal, for everything that happens negative, or what we consider negative, the glory that awaits us far outweighs the suffering that we would have. But yet we still can't compare our suffering to anything that people really suffer when it comes to suffering. We got so much that our suffering is almost blessings. You realize that? The bad things we go through is better than good things that some people go through. We've got so much. And I believe we forget our purpose. I believe we forget how everything works and why everything works together. So we're going to try to give you a few thoughts this morning if we can. May not amount to nothing for you. It's helping me. And maybe I'll just preach to Mark this morning. I don't know. And I hope you get something out of it. But I need help too. Whether y'all realize or not, I need help too. So we'll see, all right? Let's pray together. Father, I come. You're most wonderful in every way. I'm glad that the door is still open at Calvary. I'm glad you made a way for whosoever will let him come. And I'm glad it's not for select few. I'm glad it's for anybody and everybody that'll come and believe and receive you. And then, Lord, I'm glad it's eternal after we receive you. I'm glad it's eternal. I'm glad it don't bank on what I do, because I'll never get in if it's going to amount to what I do. But I'm glad I can rest in you this morning. I'm glad that you are in the storms. I'm glad you do hear me when I cry. You hear my voice and you run to me. I'm thankful for that. Now, Lord, I need you now. I ask you to cleanse me. Help me to be what I need to be just now. Give me power. Give me a clarity of mind, wisdom. Help me to preach as you want me to preach. And may we look at this morning as you've laid on my heart. May I share and give. But Lord, may you speak to us this morning as we see the truth of the matter. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. Please touch me fresh with thy power. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Romans chapter 1, let's start at verse 7. Romans chapter 1, start at verse 7. It says, To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. We'll look at a few things this morning, and we just finished November. Do you realize that? November is over today. 11 months of the year of 2025 is gone, and this was supposed to be thankful month. I didn't see as much, I'm not on Facebook. Every now and then I will get on there to look up something, or Cheryl will show me something and I'll see something, but I'm not on Facebook any longer. But it used to be that people would have their countdown on November the 1st, and they would start going through the calendar of every day. They would write down what they was thankful for. Some keep a notepad on their counter and they would write down what I'm thankful for today. And that's been done down through the years, and ain't nothing wrong with that. We got a lot to be thankful for. Can you say amen to that? Can you at least agree to that? We got a lot to be thankful about. And we're thankful for stuff, but I didn't get a hunt every day. I didn't hunt every day this week, but I hunted, and when you're hunting, you have time to think, and I would sit there and I'd think not only of things that I was thankful for, but people that I was thankful for, and people that had influenced my life. And I got to looking through some scripture to try to find scripture about how we ought to be thankful. But you know, I never found a lot of scripture about we ought to be thankful for people. The Apostle Paul probably used more than any other man in the New Testament as far as being used in the Christian life. Many people helped him out, but it really didn't say he was thankful. It said that he commended them and that he was grateful here and there, but it was, he says he's a debtor, but it wasn't to the people that had done things for him. And it intrigued my mind, and I got to thinking about the purpose of people and the purpose of thankfulness and what we ought to thank the Lord for, and who we ought to thank the Lord for, and why they have come in my life. and why people has come in your life, for what purpose it is done. So we're going to look at a few things this morning, and you may not get much out of it, but let's look here. Verse 8, Romans chapter 1, verse 8 says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I just want you to know that we ought to be thankful for everybody that crosses our path. For everybody we meet, for everybody we see, for everybody we know, we ought to be thankful for. Can you agree to that? Paul said he was thankful for all of them. Is that not what he said? He said, I'm thankful for you all. And then he was thankful not only for you all, but he was thankful for all those that were Christians. Because he's talked about their faith that had been talked about throughout. You know, I'm thankful for lost people that's come in my life. I mean, because they've helped me out. I can honestly say, for the most part, 99.99999 people have been good to me. You know that? Just I could probably count on one hand the people that's really tried to do me dirty. You know that? Everybody been good to me. Everybody has. Lost people, saved people. I really, when somebody says, you know, how you doing, preacher? I can't have no complaints. I really don't have no complaints. I really can't complain. Everybody good to me. And you say, well, ain't that against Scripture? I say, well, they're good to me. That don't mean they speak well of me. But at least they're not bad to me. They don't hurt me. And they don't hurt me physically. They don't burn my house or they... I mean, I've had a few people steal some things, but like I say, the percentage is way low. We all right. Everybody understand. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for some things. And Paul is thankful for people. But when it comes down to it, when he said that he, all the way down until verse 14, he was thanking the Lord about opportunities, and I hope I can get to you to help you. I hope I can get to you to impart some spiritual gift that's going to encourage you, that it's going to establish you. The only thing Paul was concerned about was his purpose in serving God. And I believe this morning, that's not the main thing in our mind, is serving God. The main thing in our mind is what we're going to get from God. The main thing on our mind is how God's going to help us, or what is He going to do for me today, or is He going to give me this and what I've asked for, and is He going to help me here because I need this, and all the things. It's not what I'm going to do for Him. That's not usually the main thing on our mind. It may cross our minds, but it's not the main focus. But yet, the Apostle Paul, he starts out saying, boy, I'm sure thankful for everybody. Now, if I can just get to you to impart on some new spiritual gift, I'm going to help you with the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. I'm a debtor. I mean, he just goes right on into what he's supposed to be doing. Right. Well, can I tell you, that's what we're all supposed to be doing. Right. And I believe if we would get out of the world as far as our purpose goes, now we got to live in the world, and we got to make a living, and we've got things that we are talented that we can do for others and to make a living, and that all has to be done. Everybody understand that? But our purpose in being saved is far different. And I believe that if we're going to be thankful for some things, we need to be thankful for circumstance. We need to be thankful for some situations that's come in our life. Good or bad. See, every situation that comes in your life, let me ask you first, are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? If you're saved, you should say in a loud, audible voice, yes, I'm saved. If you don't want to say that with a loud, audible voice, you probably need saved, or you are on not speaking terms with the Lord. There's a problem. Are you saved?
Yes.
So you ought to be tickled. You're in among friends in the church. If you can't say you're saved here, you're not saying it out there.
Amen.
I'll go ahead and tell you that now. All right? If you can't say it here with all of us, you're not saying it out there pumping gas to the Canadians coming through. You're not saying it to the Pennsylvanians that just runs you off the road. Right? Talk to me now. So But situations come, good or bad. Circumstances come, good or bad, and we get down on the circumstances, and we get down on the situations when all of these things are tools. We have people that come and cross our path, and some get on our nerves. You ever have people get on your nerves? You ever get people that irritate you, make you mad? Then you have people that's a blessing and are good to you and all the other. Well, can I tell you that all the people that come your way have an influence somehow, and it's all to help you. It's all for a tool.
That's true.
It's all for a tool.
Right.
That you might do your purpose. And what is your purpose? I just took the test here in our college class, and one of the questions was talking about the theme of the book of Acts. And it was a true or false question, and I did get it right. I hate true and false questions, but nevertheless, the theme of Acts is not miracles and it's not tongues, but the theme of the book of Acts is being a witness. But yet the theme of after I leave Calvary is to be a witness. After I leave Calvary from trusting Christ as my Savior, the theme of my life is to be a witness. When I can't tell you this morning that the theme of your life and the purpose of your life is after you are saved is that you are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other reason for you to exist. He don't need you to praise Him. He wants you. He tells us to, but He don't need it. He's got angels doing it 24/7. Everybody understand? He saves you to be a witness. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. In all Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, all the uttermost parts of the earth. Everybody understand that? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Talk to me if you're with me. That means after you get saved, that's when the Holy Ghost comes in your heart. After you get saved, you're to be a witness. That's what it says. After that, the Holy Ghost will come, you shall be witnesses. So that's our purpose. I don't have to go very far, be very smart to figure that out in the Word of God. That's my job, is to be a witness for Christ. So everything that's going to come my way is going to build on me and help me to be that witness. So I thought about Paul, and I looked here, and just the things to be thankful for. Everybody still following me? We all right? All right? Influenced Paul, and I didn't write everybody down. I just started writing down some things to see. I wonder, could we go back to Stephen, a deacon, who, when they laid the coats down, the ones who was going to stone Stephen, and there's a man there by the name of Saul, and he watches Stephen, the preaching deacon, having rocks bounce off his head and looking and seeing Jesus, and looking forward to seeing him and watch him die. I wonder how much that influenced the Apostle Paul. I don't know that he ever got over it. You can read about it where he mentions it in other places. He never got over it. Now, you say, well, that was a bad thing. Who was it bad for? Who was it bad for that Stephen was stoned? Was it bad for Stephen? He got to see Jesus. Was that bad? Talk to me. Now, we look at it, oh, that's awful. Right? Oh, that's awful. That's a shame. But he saw Jesus. And because he saw Jesus, it influenced Saul to know who Jesus was on the road to Damascus. So Saul was influenced by Stephen. Can you agree to that this morning? Do you see where I'm running with it? Now, let's look on through. We find Saul on the road to Damascus. He sees a light from heaven. Here's the Lord. Sees the Lord. Talks to the Lord. The Lord asks him, is it not hard for you to kick against the pricks? Saul said, what would you have me do? We know the conversion of Saul. He turns his name into Paul. He tells him to go down there on Straight Street, and he finds Ananias, and Ananias helps him. And now Ananias is scared to death of him, but look at the influence that Ananias had on Paul as he baptized him. The scales come off his eyes. He nurtured him a little bit there, explained to him exactly what all was going on. I don't know that Paul ever got over Ananias' influence. Do you believe he would have got over? But he's not mentioned no more after he left his house. But look at the influence. There's people that come your way that's going to influence you, that you're going to be a testimony to you to come to Christ. There's going to be people that come your way that's going to influence you to get you on the right road. We read in the book of Acts a little bit further, and you'll see Barnabas. Barnabas is already a disciple, and he takes Paul under his wing and opens doors for him to preach and make sure that people are encouraged. And listen, I know he killed all your family, but he's a preacher now. I know he killed your sister and brother and dad and mom and he butchered him, but he's a preacher now. That's what Barnabas went and done. You understand that, don't you? You understand that's what he did? Because that's what Paul was. And people said, okay, Barnabas, if that's what you say, we're going to listen to him. And they got saved because of Barnabas' influence on Paul. I want you to understand that people that come your way are influencing you to be a servant. No, not just to be a servant, but to be a voice for the Lord Jesus. You're influencing others. Others are influencing you. For one purpose. Your purpose, listen to me. We gotta have houses. Ain't nothing wrong with having houses and cars and stuff. There's nothing wrong with none of that. Nothing wrong with jobs and careers. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that. But that's not your purpose. Your purpose ain't college and money and 401ks and retirements. Where's Carl? I'm not trying to hurt his business, but. That's life, and that's what we do, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is coming and people are lost. And we're finding that we waste time, and now people are lost and they're older and they're harder. Now we're finding that what we didn't focus on, we wish we had focused on. Are you following me? And everybody is a tool. Everybody's an influence. Can we go on just for? Is everybody following me? I go on then. I'm going to go quickly through some here. Gamaliel, or how you say his name. Now, even though he taught Paul the Jewish customs and all the law and everything, but look at how he was used greatly as an influence on Paul, that when Paul then went out in the desert, if you would, and was taught by God about the mysteries of grace, that he could write the book of Galatians and the book of Romans and show you that it's the just shall live by faith. Right, amen. Even Gamaliel was an influence. Paul. Can I tell you that everybody influences us some way? Are you following me? Well, talk to me if you're following me. We're talking about being thankful right now. We're thankful for the influence. All right? Lydia. Lydia was a great influence. That's how the church of Philippi came to be, if you would. Dorcas. In the Bible was a great helper. Phoebe, a great helper. Aquila and Priscilla, great helpers. Timothy, a great helper. What did he say about Luke? Luke's always with me.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You know, I don't know anything any better than you say, you know, they're always with me. I can count on, if Paul could count on anybody, he said, well, I count on Luke.
Yeah.
Luke didn't build himself up, never said nothing much about himself. He wrote everything down that Paul was doing there in the book of Acts. And Paul said, you know, he's always with me. He's always with me. Influence. You allow that help Paul any? Think about that. Timothy was a young man. Huh? But he made sure that Paul got his coats and his cloaks and got him the parchments. Made sure he had the scripture. I want you to understand this morning, all this was for what purpose? To make Paul come to know that he might be a witness. Huh? We've been preaching hard on salvation for months and months, and now we're going to turn some things around and preach to us this morning about telling the gospel, not just receiving the gospel, but somewhere you're going to have to do more than just be saved.
Yes.
And you need to be thankful for your influence. Are we still okay? But Paul didn't owe them that. We say a lot of time, you know, I owe so-and-so. Paul never said that. He never said, I owe Stephen for taking a stand. He never said, I owe Barnabas for getting doors open. He never, ever said that. Are you listening to me? He never said, I owe Aquila and Priscilla for their work. I owe Phoebe. I owe Dorcas. I owe Timothy. He never said, I owe Luke for hanging there with me. He never said he owed them. He just said, I'm thankful. We spend time saying we owe everybody, but we're owing the wrong people. Hang with me now. We'll get to that in a minute. Everybody still follow me? We're owing the wrong people. I look at my life. I want you to think about some things this morning. Who's influenced your life? I've been in the ministry, and I'm going on 41 years in the ministry. That's a long time. 41 years preaching, going on 41 years. That's a long time to preach to a bunch of people. Pastor and preach. Can I tell you, I've been greatly influenced in the preaching. Where did it start? Well, I got to go back and be thankful for mom and dad. See, now, the reason I'm putting this together this morning is because we've been in a week of Thanksgiving and we've been in a month of Thanksgiving, but we really have a debt to pay. But it ain't to those that's influenced me. See, my life started with mom and dad. See, I don't remember. My daddy wasn't always a Christian. My daddy had a past like everybody else. And my daddy used to run, drink, fight, right? But I didn't see that in my daddy. I never seen the lost of dad and mom. The only thing I ever saw mom and dad was the Christian side of mom and dad. Everybody understand that? I never saw the negatives like so many. I never saw the coming home and dad not home on the weekend. I never saw mom coming in late at night. I never saw that. I always saw mommy cooking supper, daddy working, coming home, he's eating at the table. I always saw the home life. That was a big influence. I always was taken to church and sent to church and made sure I was in church, Sunday school and preaching and behaving. And I wasn't allowed to talk and whisper. And I wasn't allowed to run to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom before church, you go to the bathroom after you get home. That's what I was taught. Now, if you do, I ain't what I'm saying. All right? Everybody's listening to me? I'm just telling you, these things influenced me. These things influenced me. Of course, Daddy was a preacher. All right? I didn't know a daddy when he was not a preacher. Everybody understand that? I was a baby when Daddy started preaching. And Mommy said when Daddy preached his first sermon, she had the model in my ear, she had it in my eyes, she had it up my nose. She was trying to listen to Daddy, and she wasn't feeding me. Of course, she finally got it. I'm looking at me. I'm talking about influence on Mom and Dad. I had a pawpaw and a mama that influenced me greatly. Greatly, they influenced me. And Daddy and Mommy taught me to go and to be right. And Daddy taught me to stand and to be a man. And Mommy made sure that I had clean shorts on. And I mean, these are that obeyed, the voice behind my ears. And I mean, everything was influencing me.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that. Papa and Mama influenced me. It showed me about faithfulness and showed me that being a Christian was worth it and that loving the Lord was worth it. Have you ever had anybody influence you like that? That loving the Lord was worth it.
That's right.
Are you influencing anybody that loving the Lord is worth it? We ought to be influencing our children and grandchildren. We ought to be influencing others. Can I tell you that anybody our way, that used to anyway, everybody's dying off now. If you mention Preacher Bill, everybody loved Preacher Bill. Because of the influence he didn't just have on my family, but had on everybody. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But I never forget, I'm struggling with the call to preach, not wanting to preach or be like Papa and Daddy. And I go over in Papa's bedroom and fighting this. And he's sitting there in his chair with his Bible in his lap and his glasses in his teeth looking out the window across the hill. And I go in and sit down on the bed. I don't say, hey, Papa, I don't say nothing. I sit on the bed. He don't even look at me. He just sits there for a minute and says, you're on the right track. Keep going. I just got him left. I didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing else to me. I didn't want to hear that. He said, you're on the right track. But it was influence. It was influence. What was it for? It wasn't for me to be a better husband. It wasn't for me to be a better daddy. It wasn't for me to be a harder worker. But it was for me to be a witness. Everybody understand? But I was able to be raised up in church. And the influences that men and women put on my life changed my life. I've said it many times, people that I cannot get out of my mind, and it matters not to me what anybody else thinks of them. This is how they help me. When I think of church and dead, I despise dead church. It gets on me when dead Christians, people that have no spirit about them and say they're saved, it wears me out. I wonder if you've ever really been saved. I really do. When you have nothing at all to show and never a smile, never a tear, never, I think you'll probably burn in hell, just to be honest with you. I just think you will. That's just my opinion. I don't think you got it. I think if you got it, it'll come out. You know, that's what I believe. But the man that always came out is Pat Cook. Pat Cook influenced my life. He's dead and gone. I loved him. He was my friend. My friend right up until he died. He was my friend. But I watched him be faithful when things was tough. And I watched him be spiritual when things was dead. When things was hard and dead, I watched Pat Cook be spiritual. He'd shout and cry and everybody was looking around, but Pat didn't care about what everybody else was doing. He loved the Lord in his heart, and that showed me it don't have to be what everybody else does. Amen. It would influence me in my ministry. Are y'all following me this morning? Who's influencing you this morning? L.T. Jordan, a lot of people may not like L.T. Jordan. Can I tell you something about L.T. Jordan, what he taught me? He showed me and influenced me that you live life in pain and don't let it stop you. Yeah. A man that had thousands of kidney stones, not hundreds, thousands, had kidney stones almost daily for 50, 60 years. Huh? He had bottles of kidney stones in his cabinet. Bottles of them that he had passed. Huh? Passing 3 and 5 a day was normal. Am I telling the truth, John Johnson?
13 and 1 day.
That was just normal. And he'd be bent over. And what would he be doing? He'd be going visiting. He'd be passing out tracts. He'd be bent over, taking pain pills. Well, you go, oh, so-and-so needs some groceries. And I was taking him groceries. He got saved, and Janelle, his wife, had got killed in a car wreck, called Pawpaw and said, Preacher Bill said, you got to do something about LT. Said, he's going too far. So what's he done, Janelle? What's he done? Said, well, you know, since he's been saved, he's changed. And he come home and took all of our stuff out of the refrigerator and laid it in the floor and took our refrigerator up a holler because so-and-so's refrigerator went out and they needed it. And Bill, I don't have nothing to put my groceries in. You ever heard anybody being that saved? Huh? That's how he did. Well, that I never got over that influence. The influence that you go get the down and outers. Only heaven knows how many people in nursing homes and hospitals that he didn't know had been led to the Lord because L.T. Jordan went to them of people that was forgotten and dirty and didn't have anything. He'd give his last dollar to give them groceries that didn't even know who they were. Amen. That influenced my ministry. to be a witness. Are you still are you still okay? There's a man over a Mount Lookout. Some may like him, some may not. It don't matter to me. But there was a man named Clinton Schaefer that taught me, if nothing else, Mark, you pray. Don't just pray it, but you get alone and you set a time and you pray. He influenced me to pray. I'd stop by time after time, day after day, even in the night, run in and say, "Well, can you pray?" He said, "I'll go pray now." And he'd go to the basement and pray. He'd pray with me. And people say, "Well, but it don't matter." I'm telling you what influenced me. Who's influencing you to be the witness that you are this morning? Huh? Gene Coger, my old boss, he influenced me to show me that you can be a Christian on the job. He was a Christian on the job. He started his dad. He got there early. He went and got his Bible. He sat and drank a cup of coffee in his office and he read his Bible. Then we started work. At break time, everybody was carrying on. He went and got his Bible, sat to break at his desk with a cup of coffee and a banana, and he read his Bible. At lunchtime, he ate his sandwich and read his Bible. At break time in the afternoon, he read his Bible and drank a cup of coffee. At evening time, he told you, "I'll see you at church." He all the time shows you to be a Christian on the job. It didn't matter what anybody else done. Huh? And I can still say, I'll never forget, I told you before, when I started praying, I know, you don't have to say anything, but I chewed Red Man and Hawkins, I chewed tobacco when I started preaching, and I'll never forget, I went in on the Monday morning. Gene said, "How church go yesterday, Mark?" We had a good service. I said, "I surrendered to preach last night, Gene." He said, "Oh," the tears start running down his face. He said, "When are you going to quit the chewing?" And I said, "Well, what they got to do with it?" He said, Nothing. He said, "Just go back there and spit between Wes's feet." I've been trying to win Wes' spirit to the Lord. He said, "Go back there and spit between Wes's feet and tell him God called you to preach last night." I can't do that. All of a sudden now I'm convicted over Red Man and Hawkins. And I'd stick my hand in that poker Red Man to get a chew, and I'd see Gene's face. And I'd still put that chew in, I'd see Gene Coger. "Now you chew, smoke, you do what you want to. I'm telling you what's influenced me." I couldn't do it. I finally had to throw it away. I couldn't do it. Huh? Now if somebody's chew, I can smell it on you. I can smell tobacco or a cigarette on you. I can smell just like somebody drinking liquor. I can smell, and if you chew scrap tobacco, I can smell it. My mouth will water. When my mouth waters, I see Gene Coger's face. He was 6'5", black flat top haircut, and black rimmed glasses, and I can see his face. He influenced me. You know why? Because he told me, he said, "It's going to hurt your preaching." Are we okay this morning? I'm talking about what I'm thankful for. This is a different way of doing them. I'm telling you what I'm thankful for. How about a little man that was a big influence on me? He's about this tall, name of Johnny Walker. But he's picking him up, carried him to work. He rode to work with me. And every morning, he'd hand me a little card. He gave me a little card like this. He said, "Here you go. Here's a scripture." I said, "All right." And that was for me to memorize that day. So he's over here welding. I'm over here doing machine work. Hey, let's hear it. And I'd go, "Nope." He put his welding hood back down. I didn't have a word perfect. He put his welding hood back down. I'd go back over a little bit later. Hey, let's hear it. Come on. And at the end of the day, if I didn't have it, he took the card from me. He said, "You don't know it. Here, go back to the one you said yesterday." And I'd have to say it, and if I said it, then he'd give me my card back. You know what he taught me? You know what he influenced me to memorize the scripture. I think it's helped my preaching. It's helped me to be a witness. Are you under? Because you can't always carry your Bible. It's hard to work on a job and carry your Bible one hand and do machine work or weld with the other. It's just really hard to do. So you better have the word in your heart. Are we okay with everything this morning? I'm talking about influence this morning. And many others, all of you, I could go on down the line. There's no need. I can go on down the line. These are people that's influenced me down through the years of steadfastness and of preaching, and preachers that's influenced me, and study time and the time alone with the Lord. And every one of you has influenced me. Every one of you. I can look at you and there's something in your life since I've met you that has helped me in preaching the gospel. Whether it's encouraged me to preach because you're so wicked. Or whether it's encouraged me to preach because it's been successful. Or you're making me agree that I ought to quit. You understand? I'm talking about everybody's influence. Are you with me? But what is the purpose for? What's my purpose? My purpose ain't to stand up here and look pretty. I can't help that. My purpose ain't to be famous. My purpose is to give you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and your influence on me. I'm thankful for your influence this morning. But I don't know you. I don't know you. Can we get to the meat now? Romans chapter 1, verse 14. All of these things I've been telling you about is tools. You're a tool. Circumstances tool. Now I've got cancer now. I'm waiting to see how it's going to be a tool. I've already got the witness about it. I know what time it is, but I'm going to finish this. Listen to me. We all know Philip Rett. We all know that. We all know that hundreds of people have been witnessed to. Right? And still, and there's not a week went by that I ain't got the witness to someone concerning, even this week, on the tree stand on my phone, I got the witness to somebody about Philip and the Rett. And I'm on a tree stand. Okay? It's happened every week. Me and Lindsay both. And I ain't trying to steal Lindsay's thunder. But she got them cows and she sold a cow. And some woman in Virginia bought a cow. And the woman that bought the cow just happens to be the wife of the man who invented the Myrna vaccine. Am I saying that right? The Myrna vaccine? That big shot, that famous shot? Minerva, whatever it is. All right. And the woman that bought it is this man's wife. It was a Christian who now has got some kind of Christian page, who has now took Philip's story and put it on the Christian page. And all the senators and the congressmen in Washington have learned about Philip and his wreck and everything that has happened in their circle, in a higher up circle. For what? For the purpose of the gospel. Are you listening to me? Right? People say, oh, it's awful that Philip didn't have an accident. He was in a wreck. He didn't have an accident. How do you know it was an accident? Nobody was with him. It was a wreck. It was on purpose. It wasn't an accident. But that situation was for the gospel. Now, more people have been witnessed to. More people have seen the truth. More people. And Lindsay has got to type and write and talk and do all this just in the last 3-4 weeks. Right. All over again like it's brand new. And it's been 10 years. My purpose is not to have houses and lands and finances and fame. My purpose is to be a witness. Your purpose is to be a witness. Your purpose is to be a voice to tell people about Christ. That's your purpose. Now I've got cancer. Well, I'm not scared. I'm not. But I'm going to use it. It's going to be my tool.
Right.
Huh? Going to be my tool. Listen, I got blowed up. How many people have I got to witness to? Because I got blowed up at the plant. I fell 26 feet off my house at Cliff Top. How many people have I got to witness about falling off that house? I had a stroke. Huh? Had a stroke and talked to y'all on Sunday. Me in the hospital. Had a stroke on Friday, and Dr. Willis says he'll not make it to the hospital. Preacher won't make it. Huh? But I'm doing pretty good for a dead man. Fell off the house two years ago in October. It was 2 years. Huh? Flew me to Huntington. Brother Rick said he's dead. No pulse, no breath. Done turned blue. Huh? Cheryl says she scared life into me. She hollered at me so hard. But I've got to witness to people down there in the hospital. I come out of the hospital on a walker on Friday from a stroke or fall off house on Monday. Walker on Friday, coming home, walking, or cane on Saturday, walking stick on Sunday, preach revival on Monday. Now, I couldn't drive. Jeremy and Dewey drove me to revival. Wobbly, I had to make sure I had to stand up. But what I'm telling you, it's because of the gospel. It ain't because of, look how big I am. I'm telling you this morning that we're going to be thankful. We're very thankful for the influences on our life that we can give the gospel out. Are you still with me? But Paul said he was a debtor. Well, let's see who he's a debtor to, and I'll quit. Sure, you go on the piano. Who am I a debtor to? Paul says, I am a debtor. Well, wait a minute, look who he's a debtor to. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise. He wasn't a debtor to the people's influence. He was a debtor to get people the gospel. If you owe anybody anything this morning, you owe everybody you see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they be Greek or barbarian, whether they be wise or unwise, whether they be rich or poor, red or black, green, blue, it don't matter who they are, where they're from, you owe them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you meet them, that's who you are. You owe them. And if you don't pay your debt, you're a crook. You don't believe that? If you don't pay your debt, you're a crook. You owe the gospel. Paul said, I'm a debtor. He said, I thank God for all of you. And I want to be with you and impart some spiritual gift and let you be established and let you grow and all. But wait a minute, I'm a debtor. Who am I a debtor to? I'm a debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise. I'm a debtor to everybody that's lost. For I'm ready to preach the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God and the salvation to everybody that'll believe it. And everybody, to the Jew first and the Greek. And it's going to be by faith that you believe it. And that's what we owe this morning. We need to quit worrying about life and quit worrying about death. Huh? Quit worrying about the situations and welcome the situations that come, for they're tools to make you. And people are tools to make you. And to make you to be the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to hang my head. I'm not praying for my healing. Don't you pray for my healing. You praying for my healing is again the will of God. You pray for yours if you want to, but don't pray for mine. I believe I'm in the will of God as I stand here this morning. He wants me to have cancer. He's given me a tool that I might preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to some doctor, some nurse, some radiation technician. Somebody somewhere is going to get the gospel because of my cancer. Are you listening to me? You say, well, I don't know about that. I'm just telling you this morning, I'm a debtor. And I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad. And I know there's many in here that's got cancer and had cancer. I'm not belittling you. I'm telling you this morning, don't shun the situation and circumstance, but embrace it. Don't shun the people that come in your path, but embrace them. Don't look at people about being an enemy. Look at them about being the tool that's going to help you to be the voice and the witness that you're supposed to be. That's all I'm here for. That's all I'm here for. I'm temporary. I'm temporary. I don't know of anything any more joyful than I'm temporary. we've heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves. Huh? I buried mommy and daddy, you know why? They was old and sick, they should die. Buried papa and mama, you know why? They was old and sick, they should have died. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to grieve over that. I'm going to grieve because my flesh misses them. But I'm going to take that influence and use it for tools. When Papa died, the last thing he said, told the little nurse, "Why are you here, Preacher Bill? I'm come see you one more time." And died. Mama died. Raised up in the bed and said, "Bill, Joe, Lord, Lord." Man, that's influencing me. Last word my daddy said to me, he pulled the oxygen mask away from his face and said, "Do all you can." Put the mask back on his face. And ICU room at Raleigh General Hospital influenced me. And all my little mommy said, "I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home." Her last breath, "I want to go home." Man, I want to go home this morning. I want to go home. These things influence me. Are you listening to me this morning? It's not to dampen my spirit. It's not to make my voice weak, but it's to make my voice strong. I might stand up and tell you, hey, ain't a better way, ain't a better day, ain't the only way, Jesus Christ, and you can come to Him this morning. This thing's real to me. It's real to me. It's not religion. If you go religion, you'll go to hell. You need Jesus. Huh? This thing's real. I got a friend. He does stick closer than a brother. I got a friend I can call on when I'm in a storm. I got a friend who walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. Hey, I got somebody that lives in my heart this morning and tells me, "You tell him, boy. You tell him, hey, it's not just voices, but it's the sweet Holy Spirit of an eternal God that lives in my heart and tells me to be a voice." And he's telling you the same thing. He's telling you the same thing. You're a debtor. I'm thankful for the influence. And I'm a debtor to the people who need the Lord. Father, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you